Blog Talk Radio.
Jim, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, Neil. I was waiting for some applause. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Eastern Airlines Old Time Radio Show. Tonight, we bring you episode number 87. That's almost 2 years that we have been broadcasting, and we originate live from our studios at www.ealradioshow.com in New York City's Rockefeller Center. We're glad you're listening in as we bring you highlights of Eastern Airlines during the 1960s and 70s. Our sponsors for tonight's show are BE Aerospace Systems from Wellington, Florida. They're makers of airline interiors. And, of course, Eastern Airlines, who always tells us that they are number one to the sun. We hope you will patronize our sponsors. To call into tonight's show, please telephone 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers, 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Now, let's hear from one of our sponsors, Eastern Airlines.
By golly, the only way to travel these days. Am I right, son?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
Wasn't this way years back. Oh, you young people don't know how soft you've got it.
Yes, sir.
This airplane is just like a limousine. Feel like a millionaire. Sitting back, all relaxed, and saying, drive on. Follow my analogy, son?
Yes, sir.
Anytime there's a choice, I always say, Eastern.
Yes, sir.
Tickets, baggage, they do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy it. You know, that's the trouble with you young people. You don't know how to relax. Simple relaxation is a lost art these days. Am I right, son?
It is hard to stay awake on an Eastern Airlines flight. The food is so very good. And the service so simpatico. The ride is so comfortable. Oh, pardon me. Want to catch up and some rest? Come fly with Eastern.
At the end of the 1950s...
By golly, the only way to travel these days, am I right?
Eastern Airlines had 208 airplanes with a total of 9.5 million passengers flying in them. There were 18,000 employees at the end of the year. Now let's move into the 1960s and 70s. These were some of the popular TV shows we were watching.
Wrong. rocking and rolling all week long.
Chuck, I think you're up, or either Bill. Would you take the next?
I'm ready to go on those parts. As we entered the 1960s, the first DC-8 flight was January 24th, 1960. A major building program was taking place at the Miami base with a new jet hangar and engine overhaul shop with jet test cells. New terminals at Atlanta and Miami are opened. And Sarasota was added to the system in January with Captain Jack Lambie on the first flight. The airline carried almost 9 million passengers with a fleet of 208 airplanes.
Well, folks, on April 10, 1961, the air shuttle started between LaGuardia, Boston, and LaGuardia and Washington. Also, a flight engineer strike started February 18th and ended on the 24th. 10 Boeing 720s were ordered in August of 1961. Bill.
Floyd Hall is named the new Eastern Airlines president, and Captain Rickenbacker remained chairman on December 16, 1963. Who could forget this ballad by Barry Sadler, written in 1968?
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. Has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
While reviewing the 1960s, it was in January 1962 the Board of Directors of Eastern Airlines and American Airlines agreed to a merger. C.R. Smith of American would become chairman, and Malcolm McIntyre of Eastern would be president. The proposed merger was rejected by the Justice Department in April 1963. I see that our radio hosts indicate they are ready to take your calls. Good evening, Margaret. I'm sure you're ready to open up the radio show's microphones to our callers.
Thank you, Bill. And yes, it's time for the EAL radio show to take your calls. Good evening, caller. You're on the air with your radio show's host. What is your question or comment?
Thanks for taking my call. I've heard about the dependability of your Eastern shuttle. I also heard that if one person shows up and it's more than that airplane can hold, that Eastern will bring out another aircraft to fly that person. Is that true?
Yes, it certainly is true, sir. And thank you for calling with that question. I am a stewardess that has worked on many of the shuttle flights, and it wasn't until about a month after the shuttle started was Eastern put to the test. It was at LaGuardia that a man showed up aboard the 96-passenger Constellation and was told it was filled to max seating capacity. The man was assured that he would be on a backup aircraft, and they pulled out another Constellation for that one man. Eastern was hoping to make a film of this happening and had a camera crew standing by. The man could not believe this was happening and said he would not board this aircraft because of people this crazy running it. They pleaded with him to board, but he refused. It would not be until a few weeks later when they finally had the opportunity to take advantage of filming this happening for their advertising department. Talk among those in the shuttle corridor about the dependability of the shuttle would make the service synonymous with travel between New York, Washington, and Boston.
We are so pleased to have a guest in the studio named Margaret that I would like to introduce to our listeners. Miss Margaret Shepherd, better known to all of us here at Ten Rock Plaza as Sheppy. Thank you, Sheppy, for coming down to our studio for this interview.
Hello, everyone. And, Jen, thank you for inviting me to be on your show tonight. Captain Eddie sends all of you his regards and wants you to know that he listens to every broadcast.
Sheppy, would you tell our listeners how you came to be hired as Captain Eddie's secretary?
I would be very happy to, Jan. But I must say that my employment by Captain Eddie is not as exciting as one would think. When I lived in Canada and was told by a friend that if I came to America, I could find better opportunities. So I answered an ad in a Detroit newspaper for a girl's secretarial experience to work with an automobile manufacturing firm. I was interviewed by an office manager. I must have made a good impression, for he hired me. At the time, I did not know that I would eventually become the personal secretary of Captain Eddie. You see, he was in Europe attending an auto show at that time. My boss was Mr. Roy Pelletier, a manager of the advertising department for the Rickenbacker Motor Car Company. The ad was for a personal secretary for Captain Rickenbacker. Mr. Pelletier wanted me to stay as his personal secretary, but when I learned that the ad was for someone to be the captain's secretary, I asked a friend of mine at an employment agency, what should I do? She advised me to wait until Captain Rickenbacker returned before I made a decision. I did, and the rest is history. I have gone through a few names like Miss Shepherd, then Margaret, and finally, Sheppy, a nickname that the Rickenbacker boys gave me.
That sounds so marvelous and so exciting. Was Captain Eddie a very talkative or demanding boss?
Well, I will admit that I thought of quitting once because I was getting offers from various firms that were quite attractive. I decided to be upfront with the captain, and I asked him, do you think I'm going to be satisfactory? Now, he rarely answers a question without a question in return. He looked at me and he said, "Why do you want to know?" Well, I remember being very direct and saying, "Because I'm being offered other jobs for more money." Well, he looked at me under those bushy eyebrows of his and said, "I can't promise you a raise, young lady. Not in 3 months, not in 6 months, or even a year. But if you continue as you are, you'll have no regrets." And I never mentioned quitting again. Now, he is a stickler about getting to work on time, which to him in New York means 8 a.m. My schedule is his schedule, which means I work many weekends and travel to Detroit when he has a meeting there. At first, his wife Adelaide would travel with him. You know, he absolutely adores her. However, they are different in that he likes to get up early and she likes to sleep in. And I am as close to her as I am to the captain. He is indeed a remarkable man. Well, Dan, that's about all the time I have for now, but I hope you'll invite me back to a future show. There is so much I would like to tell your listeners about this wonderful man, whom most simply refer to as Captain Eddie.
Thank you so much for your time, Sheppy. Remember, we will hold you to another interview in the future.
Let's take a short commercial break for one of our sponsors, and then we will get right back to our phone lines.
Get that sure feeling in the 67 cars from Chevrolet.
Excuse me, you couldn't hear me. I was in my new glass garage.
Yeah, glass. Isn't that something?
Nobody who has a new 1967 Chevrolet Impala Sport Coupe ought to be without one of these.
And this sleek new body by Fisher should never be hidden from view. This Chevrolet Impala Sports Coupe belongs in a glass garage where it's always on display.
And you can see it from any angle. Let me put it this way. If you have a new car like this new Impala with its bold, impressive, modern look, well, you'd hate to hide it in an ordinary garage. Is that right? And so you see, you need my glass garage to shelter your Impala and at the same time keep it on display. Glass garage.
Hello, caller. What's your name and what's your comment?
My name is Ron Badorf, and I live in Jackson Heights here in Queens, New York. I heard that Eastern has ordered a new Boeing trijet. Can you tell us anything about it?
Hi, Ron. This is Steve, and yes, that's right. We just took delivery of Boeing's new jet aircraft called the Boeing 727. Now, we're the first airline to offer service with this three-engine jet. We'll be making our first flight February 1st, 1964. It is so quiet, the company has dubbed it the Whisper Jet. It has three Pratt & Whitney JT8 engines, and they're rated at 13,000 pounds of thrust each. The aircraft flies at a speed of Mach 0.82 and is capable of flying at 41,000 feet. Now, it's configured to carry 110 passengers in a cabin that is so quiet you can even hear a whisper across the aisle. There are three flight deck crew members, captain, first officer, and second officer, or flight engineer. Most of the flights will require four flight attendants. We think this aircraft is destined to be the workhorse of the industry for the next 20 years. Caller, thanks for your question.
Let's listen to a TV commercial from our sponsor, Eastern Airlines, about this newest aircraft in the fleet.
Brian, look! There's a new kind of plane!
That's Eastern's new Boeing 727 jet!
Look how high the tail is! 34 feet!
sensor. That's one reason it's so quiet. The passengers are always riding ahead of the sound. Where does it fly to? I don't know.
It flies north. You can hightail it on Eastern's new 727 jetliner to Washington, Philadelphia, and Boston. And a unique new dining service is worth writing home about. Choose from a selection of superb entrees like lobster Newburgh, filet mignon with Bordelaise sauce. Prepare it as you like it. Eastern 727 Jet. Quiet as a library. The smartest way to leave town? Come fly with Eastern.
Malcolm McIntyre took over as president of Eastern in October of 1959. He remained as president until Floyd Hall was appointed by the board of directors and Captain Eddie remained as chairman of the board. The highlight of McIntyre's nearly 4 years at the helm of Eastern was, to his credit, bringing about one of the most successful operated branch of the Eastern route system and operations. That was the air shuttle. It was to be copied by other carriers operating in the Northeast Corridor of the United States. Floyd Hall became president of Eastern in 1963, coming from TWA, where he had moved up from a line captain to systems vice president and general manager.
We've got lots of interest in our program tonight. Caller, how can we help you?
I just heard about Sheppy on the phone, and I would like to tell you a little story about her. By the way, my dad was a German pilot in World War I and had the occasion to do battle with the captain. Much later, after we came to America, my dad introduced me to the captain when he was the speaker at a German-American club in New York. But that's a whole other story. I am now in my 90s, but still remember this about the captain and Sheppy. Rickenbacker had a large ego, but very little vanity. The only exception was the fact that he was reluctant to reveal his age. His true age, that is. He always claimed to be 2 years younger than he actually was. It took years before his secret got out, and it was his beloved Sheppy who spilled the beans at his birthday party. Floyd Hall had asked her how old the captain really was, and she told him the truth without thinking. Later, when Hall asked Rickenbacker if Sheppy had the right story, he muttered sourly, "Women just talk too damn much."
I remember the day he moved out of his office. Mr. Hall was moving in. Hall was given some useful information about the captain, as they did not know each other. Well, when Floyd came to Eastern, one thing he was told during the employee's 20-year anniversary dinner party, which became popular when Captain Eddie honored those reaching 20 years of service, was that this was a celebration that Mr. Hall should keep going, and he did. Captain Eddie was not without mistakes, but never forgot he had a hard core of sentiment and loyalty among people who've given their lives to this airline. You put a picture of Rickenbacker on the wall of a 20-year dinner, and the place goes wild. The same goes for a picture of that 20-year pin. Hall took the advice to heart. He had a pretty good idea that Rickenbacker was hurt by his forced retirement, although he had tried to hide it. Sheppy could tell from his very quietness as he prepared to move from the office on the 16th floor of Rockefeller Plaza building he had occupied for a quarter century. It was a corner room, pleasantly, though not luxuriously furnished, with six chairs, a fairly large desk, nondescript drapes, and carpeting. Rugs were the exception in EAL executive offices in those days. Eastern later had vice presidents with more attractive quarters than Rickenbacker had. But he always seemed to feel that too much swank in his working space was out of focus with his Spartan spending policies. He loved the office, however, and it was a sad day for him when he moved. Space had been found for him in a much smaller office at 45 Rockefeller Plaza, just across the street. He asked Beverly Griffith and Sheppy to make sure the new room looked as much like the old one as possible. Bev actually took photographs of the pictures and plaques on the latter's walls so they could be rehung in exactly the same places. The moving began on a Friday afternoon and was completed by noon the next day. He never went back to 10 Rockefeller Plaza to the day he died, but Floyd Hall made a point to drop in on him from time to time, telling him how things were going at the airline and asking his opinion of certain moves, something the old man appreciated, even though he knew his opinion didn't make much difference anymore.
The young president, he was a year younger than Captain Eddy had been when the latter became Eastern's chief executive officer, always treated him with great respect and consideration. Rickenbacker, in turn, openly liked Hall. He kept telling everyone he knew Floyd very well. In truth, they had never met, but the captain didn't let that bother him because he was honestly anxious to have Floyd succeed, and his little self-deception was a means of letting people know he approved of the board's choice. Actually, they first met right after Hall was named president, and Rockefeller had to tell the old man Floyd wanted to move into his office as soon as possible. "Hell, that's no problem," Captain Eddy allowed. "Tell the young man I'd like to see him." When Hall came in, accompanied by Woodard, another board member, to pay his respects, Rickenbacker was exceptionally friendly. "There are a few things I want to do, son. First, I want you to occupy this office, and you can move in any time that's convenient for you. Second, if you'd like to have my furniture, that's fine with me. Sit right here where I do." His voice dropped a little, and Hall could almost swear there were tears in the old man's eyes. "That'll mean something to the boys and girls of Eastern, Floyd. That'll mean something to the boys and girls of Eastern." In that one brief sentence, Floyd Hall, disciple of modern management, got a glimpse of what had made Eastern great. To hell with all the past mistakes, he thought. This airline is worth saving. But he also decided that it was time to bring up the touchiest point of all, interference. "Captain, you have the largest pair of shoes in the industry," he told Rickenbacker. "I can't possibly step into them." And as EVR nodded, Hall added meaningfully, "Nor into your shadow." Captain Eddy turned to Woodard. "The young man is absolutely right."
Millie, would you please give our listeners the highlights of the rest of the year? But before we do that, some of us would like to remember the big news of the early 60s with this broadcast.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Well, the year 1965 began to show the imprint Floyd Hall would have on the company. A new Eastern Airlines logo was unveiled, replacing the familiar duck hawk with a new oval-shaped white-on-blue hockey stick, as it was tagged. Captain Rickenbacker retired as chairman on January 1st. The new theme for the airlines was the Wings of Men. Eastern carried 14.95 million passengers with a fleet of 177 aircraft. 1966. More new pilots hired than in any year since Eastern started operating. The same was true for flight attendants. New executive office building, Building 16, completed on Miami base. 65 new airplanes, DC-9s, and Boeing 727s put into service. Eastern mechanics strike July 8th through August 22nd. 1967. In January, Mackey Airlines was merged into the Eastern system. In February, DC-9 Series 10 was placed into service on the air shuttle. In June, new service started to Portland and Seattle. Later in the year, Eastern started flying charters for the U.S. Air Force Military Airlift Command, also MAC. 1968, aircraft purchased in 1967 through 1968 period were 17 DC-861s and 6 DC-863s. Art Lewis was named president and Floyd Hall became chairman and CEO. 1969, new route opened to Los Angeles via Dallas and also Miami-Los Angeles. Art Lewis resigned as president.
Well, this brings us into the 70s, and we saw these programs on TV.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
With the start of the 1970s, Sam Higginbottom was named president. Floyd Hall still remained as chairman. Frank Borman started as a VP. Total employees were now 31,500. And Eastern carried over 22 million passengers and had a fleet of 220 aircraft. 1972, Eastern became the first airline with the new Lockheed L-1011. April 26, 1972, New York to Miami. The tragic L-1011 accident in the Florida Everglades near Miami was on December the 29th, 1972. 11 L-1011s were in service by the end of 1972. 1973, Carib Air Airlines is acquired by Eastern in March. Captain Rickenbacker died while in Europe. His body, along with the Rickenbacker family. This was the year that the fuel crisis started with costs skyrocketing. Large-scale personnel reductions were made. Sam Higginbottom resigned as president. 16 new L-1011s delivered, plus 9 Boeing 727-200s. 1974, personnel were reduced by 2,200 below 1973 level, now at 32,600. New theme, you've got to believe. Fuel expenses were up 57% in 1974 over 1973, and the airline carried over 27 million passengers, and there were 246 aircraft in the fleet at the end of the year. 1975, Frank Borman is named the president and chief operating officer. Floyd Hall still remains chairman, and there were 32,800 employees. In 1976, Floyd Hall's 12-year contract expired in December of 1976, and he left, leaving Frank Borman as the chief executive officer and chief operating officer. In-flight movies are started this year, and the total aircraft now were 250 with 29 L-1011s. 1977, the A300B Airbus service started. 17 new aircraft were added to the fleet. The four A300Bs under a test program were added to these 17 aircraft. In 1978, The year was the 50th anniversary for Eastern. Employees were 37,100, and the airline carried 37.4 million passengers with a fleet of 257 airplanes. On October 4, 1978, the Airline Deregulation Act was passed. 1979, this year marked the fourth straight year of profitable operations with a net income of over $57 million. Added 1,800 employees that year. The new aircraft included five A300Bs and 10 B727-225s. A record of over 42 million passengers were enplaned.
Thank you, Cast. You did an excellent job. That was a wonderful presentation of the 1960s and 70s. In researching for our program this evening, Sheppy was a very interesting person and personality. And by the way, Margaret, I think you did a wonderful job interpreting what you think Sheppy would sound like. What do you think, guys?
Yes, he sure did.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I can only do a small amount of justice to what appears to have been a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Yeah. You know, Sheppy was to remain as Captain Eddie's secretary for 3 months, just short of 50 years.
Mm.
So she was with him for a long, long time. And so perhaps we can bring Sheppy back, because Sheppy was so important in some of the things that happened with Eastern Airlines. And, of course, she was in the background. Not many people, unless, like Jan, you were in number 10 Rock Plaza.
Yes.
You wouldn't have the occasion to meet a young lady that was the personal secretary of Captain Eddie. I might have asked you on our last show, did you ever meet her personally?
Personally, I did not. I moved into 10 Rock Plaza shortly after she had left. And I think it was... she had already left there, as I recall.
Okay. Another thing in our show tonight was the air shuttle. We can do a complete show on the air shuttle. There were so many things that happened during the air shuttle, and I remember a flight attendant that I had on my flight that told me when I was temporarily based in New York, I asked her if she had flown the shuttle often, and she says, it's my life. I always fly the shuttle. And so it was with so many of the crew members, the pilots and the flight attendants just lived to fly the shuttle. Of course, it was, 5 days on and 2 days off, and you also had the chance of being on reserve. And if there was no extra sections, you didn't work that day. But you just kind of lounged around in the crew lounge area. And, of course, I did that a couple of times when I was temporarily based there. But one of the things that I remember reading and researching about the shuttle was that Eastern wasn't the first to think of this idea. It actually was thought of by C.R. Smith, who was the president of American Airlines. He was the first person that was really given credit for the shuttle service.
Neil?
Yeah.
I was always under the impression that one of our co-pilots based in Washington thought of this, and he went to 10 Rock and made a presentation about the air shuttle, and his presentation depicted the air shuttle as it ended up being. And I can't remember his name, but he was a very popular one of our popular pilots there based in Washington. Do you know anything of this?
Well, we'll have to do a little bit deeper research about that, Steve. But what I've read in trying to research this out was that C.R. Smith first was the person that came to his people and talked to them about a shuttle in the corridor of New York, Washington, and Boston. And they were voted down. So C.R. Smith kind of put it on the shelf and didn't think any further about it. But then, I don't know how long it was after that, that someone came, well, not someone, but Malcolm McIntyre came to Eddie Rickenbacker and talked to him about the idea of a shuttle flight, a shuttle service. And of course, shortly after that, now, McIntyre may have been approached by an Eastern pilot. I'm not certain about that, Steve. But that's interesting. We ought to look into that.
A thought, was McIntyre with Eastern at the time that we were planning to merge with American Airlines, or there was a lot of discussion about that, and I believe that was in the 70s?
Well, you know, Jan, I've always heard that Malcolm McIntyre was brought onto the property of Eastern and in a management, of course, as president of Eastern Airlines with the sole purpose of merging Eastern and American. Jim, Bill, or Steve, or any of our listeners, our host, do you have any idea or have you heard anything like that?
Nope.
No, this is Jim. I was in the home office at that time, and the only thing I remembered was Mrs. McIntyre produced a cookbook which was passed to every Eastern employee free of charge.
Well, you know, in reading Eastern history, she was a great promoter of her husband, Malcolm McIntyre, and she liked to bring out, even after McIntyre left Eastern, that he did so many things for Eastern, and one in particular was the air shuttle. And, of course, that was one of the, I think, the most successful marketing and operations of Eastern Airlines, especially when I came on the property in 1963, about the same time Floyd Hall. I always like to say that two great people came with Eastern the same year, 1963, and that was Floyd Hall and myself. But but at any rate, I always thought that that was a remarkable operations, and I had the occasion to fly the shuttle for a couple of months, like I mentioned, on temporary duty. Steve, I think I asked you before, had you ever flown the shuttle?
I bid the shuttle. I bid standby for 2 years, and while I was there, I read enough books, law books, to get a correspondence law degree. So that was a very memorable time for me.
Oh! I just found in my notes, by the way, that C.R. Smith was talked out of doing an air shuttle by none other than Arthur D. Lewis.
Lewis, Art Lewis.
Soon to be a future president of Eastern Airlines. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Sounds like the Twilight Zone to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain Eddie was credited with our air shuttle after having it presented to him by Malcolm McIntyre, I think we can say. You know, another person that's interesting back in those days, and we've had him on our show, and hopefully we might be able to get him back, because such an important person in Eastern's history, Charlie Simons. And Charlie was credited with a lot of things, but I think what he did in putting the Airbus deal together for Frank Borman was outstanding. He was considered about the best person in the airline industry as far as financing. And
he really was a mastermind in financing.
He really was.
Jan,
did you meet Charlie?
I did at that time, and I was very impressed. He was a bright man and was really a real supporter of everything that was happening, and managed to get that deal done, which was amazing.
Yeah, it is. When you read about the intricacies of putting it over to Airbus about how we were to take acquisition of four aircraft on a trial basis, basically, to see how we liked it. And then it was actually Charlie that suggested to Frank Borman that this was the airplane initially, that we should look at. But Frank was not too sure that that was the airplane that Boeing was great in our history. And the Boeing had a couple of airplanes. Of course, we bought the 727-200 series, but Boeing had mentioned to the fact that they were designing a 757, an airplane that would seat up to about 160 passengers, and then which was actually stretching the 727 beyond the 727-200 by an additional 10 feet, and using the same basic fuselage, and also the 767. So I think they came back to the idea that maybe the Airbus would be what Eastern ought to do, and of course the rest is history. But Floyd Hall contributed so much to Eastern Airlines, and we've talked about that in our past shows, and he did so much, especially in the marketing area. Of course, some folks bought him with the L-1011, but a brand-new airplane, wide-bodied airplane. And, of course, we had some bad experiences with that, tragedies, the one in the Everglades, 401. But also, we had problems with the engine starts and the engines themselves. Well, Bill, let's see what's happening here.
Well, Neil, I'd like to go into the upcoming conventions. Don't forget the REPA convention coming up soon. If you'd like to attend, it's not too late to sign up by going to www.repaonline.com. There you will find all the information about the convention and the forms to fill out. Nothing but great Eastern stories flying around for 3 days. You'll love it.
Hey, Captain Neil, I'd like to just mention about the Keeping in Touch picnic that's going to be held Friday, November 9th, at the C.B. Smith Park, Broward on Flamingo Road and Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Folks, you ought to sign up for this and attend if you can. Lunch is going to be held from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the menu is just mouth-watering. There's Angus beef hamburgers, all-beef hot dogs, Italian sausage hoagies with peppers, onions, and spaghetti sauce, desserts and drinks included. Captain Neil, you and I should try to go down there. That sounds really great.
That sounds great.
Oh, yummy.
I'll be there, Margaret.
Are you going to be there, Jim?
Well, yes, yes. Can... Well, listen, all the beer you can possibly drink.
Drink some for me.
Well, you know, Jim, all they need to do is fill out that registration form. So if they go to their Keeping in Touch newsletter, there's a form there. And for the EA members, I think it's $15 each, and non-EAR members is $20. I think it's a small price to pay for a fantastic meal.
Hey, Jim, a request here from the radio show.
Yeah.
If you have a recorder, would you go to that picnic and see if you can record some of the stories by those folks that are attending the picnic?
I will try to do that, yes.
And tell them that we will put that recording right on the air. It'll be great to hear what's going on down in South Florida. Millie, are you going to be there?
Well, I've wanting to be go. If I can, I'm going to put my 2 cents in. How's that?
Well, take your recorder when you do put your 2 cents in. How about that?
Oh, I will. I'll take my iPhone. My iPhone does a wonderful job recording.
Okay.
So, and I'll
all
take
right.
Some cam, so some videos too. How's that?
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we can use those videos. We can put them into an MP4, I believe. And we can put them right on the website. So, yeah, that would be fabulous, Millie, if you would do that.
Not a problem.
Okay. I heard somebody's glass drop on the floor.
That's mine. Sorry. I'm toasting.
It wasn't mine. I still have one olive to go. REPA convention, as Bill mentioned. Chuck, by the way, I believe you are with us. I hope.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm sorry that you got with us late, but the show's
going. Well, we had some sickness in the family.
Oh, I hope everything is going to be okay.
Yeah, she's all right. It's my wife. I got so wrapped up in it, came late. I just wanted to give a footnote to Charlie Simons. I happened to get in on the Airbus when they brought the first one over. It was put in the maintenance area, and it stayed there for about 6 months while Charlie was trying to put this whole package together. And they actually let the public come in and look at it because I guess they had figured that, like you said, this was going to be part of the future of Eastern Airlines. So, and also, as you know, I was with the L-1011 program for 12 years. So those two programs were immense in keeping us afloat as far as revenue was concerned. But unfortunately, like you said, the 1011 really did dip into the old coffers, is trying to keep the engines going and stuff. We did a lot of research and development on the L-1011, the RB-211 engines. Basically, after they got the bugs out of the engine, it was actually a very good engine.
Yeah.
But it took a lot of money on Eastern's part to do that. I think that was one of the things that brought us down to a level that maybe later on it caused the airline to go out of business.
Well, thanks for being with us this evening under certainly concern for your family member. And I hope that's your wife, you said, wasn't it?
She evidently, we went out last night and got some rich food, and she got sick.
Uh-oh.
She's been in bed all day, and she had some problems here about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. So I got wrapped up in that.
Okay. Folks, I got an email earlier today from one of our listeners that has been on our show. As a matter of fact, he has sent us a MP3 that he wanted to play, see if we would put it on the air tonight, especially since it's the anniversary of he and his wife's marriage. And he recorded this when he was courting his wife, and they went on a cruise. So see what you think of this. I think it's very, very good.
Pretty lady, won't you tell me that you wanna float on this big, big boat? Pretty lady, won't you love a day with me? Please don't say no, don't say maybe. Pretty lady, just tell me that you wanna be, oh, floating on this big, big boat with me. Well, I wanna have some fun with you. We can skip a wave or two on the ocean blue. So come on and float on this big, big boat with me. Please don't say no, don't say maybe. Pretty lady, just tell me that you wanna be, oh, floating on this big, big boat with me. Well, I wanna have a pina colada with you, pretty lady. on the big blue sea. Please say you'll be half happy with me. Well, I wanna feel the sea breeze with you, pretty lady, on the warm, warm sun. Oh, won't you make me happy and float with me? Pretty lady, won't you tell me that you wanna float on this big, big boat? Pretty lady, won't you love a day with me? Pretty lady, won't you float on this big, big boat with me?
Now, the way I heard it was that they were engaged, or he asked her for her hand, and they were on a cruise ship. So that's the title of the story, The Big, Big Boat. We'd like to have anyone that has a song that they would like to share with our listeners to please just send it to us, and by golly, we'll try to put it on the air.
That was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
It was.
Host, do you guys have that same sentiment for your partners, if you are, of course, attached?
I do. This is Jim on the island. My wife, Trudy, over the years, I used to sing to her, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." And I would go through the whole thing, and she'd sit up there and kind of smile at me a little bit, and that was just great.
Yeah, but you didn't put it to music, did you? Even though
no,
you
I
got
didn't.
That remarkable voice.
He could have had a whole new career there.
Yeah, he could have.
Oh, Neil, I'm going to say this is Margaret. I would for someone to write a song about me. I don't have a significant other, so
okay. We'll have to figure out one.
Hey, know. That would be great.
I think Luann is just coming in.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah.
There she is. I see her coming through the door.
Hey, Luann, come on in.
Hey, Captain, I'm sorry. I missed my flight again, and I apologize. I know I missed the 40s and the 50s show because of that prop jet, that old Kentucky. Luann, stop it. You know, you're always late. Luann, I can't help it. I can't believe I missed that, the 60s and 70s show, too. Hey, Captain Neil, I think the hosts are mad at me. Where shall I go now? What shall I do?
Come to Martha's Vineyard.
Can always come to the Villages.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
If you didn't hear it the first time, you're going to hear it a second.
Love it.
But really, great show tonight, guys. And we're about running. We're about to run out of time. And I think I hear the music. Yeah. Jim, will you take us out of here?
I sure will, Neil. With our sign-off music for this week's show in the background, it's time for us to say goodnight to all our wonderful friends and listeners. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to the old music, news, radio programs, and events from the 40s and 50s and from the 60s and 70s. Don't miss next week's third show in the series when we are going to bring you more of the 1960s and 70s history and old-time radio. From all of us here at www.ealradioshow.com, we say good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.